23rd anniversary of our church here, Bible Baptist Church, and we'll reminisce just a little bit. But it's a message of two words this morning, beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 8. I want you to look, if you would, at verse number 19. We'll start reading there. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 19. Read down to verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 19. There's a discussion going on between the people of Israel and the Lord. And Samuel is in the middle of this discussion. He's taking the words of the people to the Lord and then taking the response of the Lord back to the people. The people have asked for a king. And Samuel went to the Lord and said, Lord, the people would like a king to rule over them. And the Lord said, well, you tell the people if they get a king that rules over them, you could read this earlier in the chapter, they're going to have a hard taskmaster that's going to take away their sons to be workers in the farms and their daughters to be maids in the houses. Going to take away their lands and all that. And so Samuel goes back to the people and says, here's what God says about the king that you're going to select. And they said, that doesn't matter. We don't care. We want a king like the other nations. So Samuel goes back to the Lord again and tells the Lord, this is what the people said. And that's where we pick up in verse number 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer as we begin this morning. Now, Father, we ask for clarity of thought. We ask for clearness of the message. We ask God for the things that we bring forth from the Word of God to be an encouragement and a blessing, Father, and a wonderful testimony of Your goodness to us as we gather here this morning. Father, we pray most of all, should there be one today in our midst that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's not the Lord of their life. God, they never turned their heart over to Him. Father, may they realize their great need here this morning. Above everything else this world has to offer, God, may they see their need for Christ. May they come to Him by faith today, receiving Him into their heart and life as Savior, receiving eternal life and Father, the promise of heaven. And for we that are saved, God, may You encourage our hearts through the things that we hear this morning. May they be true to the Word of God. I pray, Father, You would help me as I speak, God, that Your Word would go through me. And Father, that You would eliminate anything that's man-made, but Father, that Your Spirit would just work and instruct and teach our hearts from Your precious Word. Bless our time around Your Word the next few minutes. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The word I want us to focus on appears in verse number 21 where it says, and Samuel heard all the words of the people and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. He rehearsed them. When the Lord gave Samuel the message, Samuel was faithful to take the message of the Lord to the people. When the people replied, Samuel was faithful to take the people's reply and give it back to God. Folks, you and I are chosen to be witnesses and testimonies of God's grace in this earth right now. We're to take the message of the Lord to the people that are here, and we're to take it faithfully. We're to repeat to them, and I want you to notice the word and underline it if you would in your Bible, he rehearsed them. He rehearsed the words of the people before the Lord and rehearsed the words of the Lord before the people. We would say in our day, maybe he recited them. He repeated them. But I like the word rehearsed because it simply means it. They went over them time and time again. That's what somebody does when they rehearse something. They practice it over and over again. And so we find here that Samuel was in the habit of repeating the words of the Lord to the people and the words of the Lord, the people, to the Lord. He was an intermediary. He was between them in the Old Testament. He was there to bring them the words of God. And he rehearsed before the Lord the words of the people. That word rehearsed appears in our Bible four times. I want you to see the second time. It's in real close to here in 1 Samuel. Look at chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and we'll begin reading in verse 30. Here David has come upon the Philistine army fighting against the children of Israel. His brothers are hiding with the children of Israel, afraid of that giant named Goliath that's out there defying the armies of Israel, blaspheming the name of God. David sees what's going on and he says to the Jewish people, he said, what's going on here? Why are we allowing this Philistine to curse our God? What will be given to the man that defeats that Philistine? And he finds out all this information. And in verse, he goes to his brothers and tells them that, and they jump on him for it. And he says in verse 29, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Verse 30, "And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner." In other words, David said to another, "Why are we letting this Philistine blaspheme our God? Why are we letting him curse our God? Why are we letting him walk in the valley and defy the armies of Israel?" He repeats those things. "And the people answered him, and the people answered him again after the former matter. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them." Here we go again. "They rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him." The word "rehearsed" again appears here in the second context, and that was simply where the words where David was saying to the people, "Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this Philistine that he should blaspheme the God of Israel?" They took those words and they practiced them. They rehearsed them before Saul and told Saul, "Here's the words that David is saying." And they went over it again. They recovered old ground. Now let's jump away, all the way over to the book of Acts. It's interesting. This word appears four times in the Bible, twice in 1 Samuel and twice in the book of Acts. And nowhere else. This word "rehearsed" pops up. Acts chapter 11. I'm glad for the foundation of this word in the Old Testament, but I'm even more excited about the application of the word in the New Testament. And that's what we find throughout the Bible. We find the foundation in the Old Testament and the application in the New Testament. And so here in the New Testament, Acts chapter 11, look if you would at verse number 1. "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." Remember, Paul had gone on his missionary journey. He had left Jerusalem with the saints in the church at Jerusalem. At that time, the church was only Jewish. Yet Paul and Barnabas had sailed from Antioch in Acts chapter 11 and made a missionary journey and preached to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the Gentiles. They'd gone to all these different places and preached to them, and they had received the word of God. Now when Paul and Barnabas come back to the church at Antioch, they are going to tell them all that God had done. Notice verse 2. "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to the men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it on order by them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying," and I've got ahead of myself, "and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even up to me." All right, in this chapter we're in right now, Peter had been given a vision. God had showed him that he needed to go to the household of Cornelius and preach the gospel to him. Cornelius was an Italian. He was a Gentile, not a Jew. And Peter was reluctant to go preach the gospel to a Gentile because Jesus Christ had come for the house of Israel. So Peter said, "I can't go there." Then God gave him a vision. You remember the vision he got? God gave him a vision of a sheet that was lowered down with all sorts of animals inside the sheet. And when he saw these sheep, he saw pigs and cows and all these different things. The Lord said to him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, "I can't eat that. I've never had anything unclean touch my lips." Peter had never eaten of those kind of animals in there before, but God showed him that what God has called clean, don't call that unclean. Now the purpose of the vision was to show Peter that he could go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel to them. And so when the servants of Cornelius came to Peter's house and knocked on the door and said, "We want you to come and preach the gospel. We want you to come and see Cornelius, a just man, one that fears God. And he wants you to come and teach him and tell him the words of God." Peter was now not reluctant to go because God had given him a vision saying it's okay to go to the unclean. That's us. It's okay to go to the Gentiles. So Peter went there. Now in Acts chapter 11, when the Jews in Jerusalem heard about that, they got upset about it. And they called Peter in and said, "What is this that you have done?" And notice in verse 4, "But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning." There's our word for the third time. Peter rehearsed the matter. What is that? He retold it. He repeated it. He went back and said, "Here's what God's done." And it says he went back to the beginning. Back to the beginning. And he rehearsed that what God had done in calling him to go to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. Now the fourth time, and this is where I got ahead of myself, the fourth time is in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And down in verse number 27, as I mentioned before, as Paul had returned from his missionary journey and was coming back to report to the church that the Gentiles had openly received the word of God, Cornelius was the first one. But now his Paul has been sent around the world, going by boat and over land to preach the gospel in all the cities of the Gentiles. He comes back to the church at Antioch in verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed, there's our word, the fourth time, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they abode a long time with the disciples. So here we find the fourth time this word rehearsed is used in the Scripture. Really, you know the greatest chapter on rehearsal, the greatest book on rehearsal is the book of Deuteronomy. Because Deuteronomy is a rehearsal of Exodus and Numbers. In Exodus chapter 12, when the children of Israel left the land of Egypt and wandered through the wilderness, and all the things that happened to them in the book of Numbers as they pitched here and pitched there and settled here and settled there, and all the things that God did, the crossing of the Red Sea, the Ten Commandments of Mount Sinai, all these things that happened. In the book of Deuteronomy, that whole book of Deuteronomy is just a rehearsal of Exodus and Numbers of Moses retelling the story another time. Can I rehearse something for you this morning? I want to rehearse all that God has done at Bible Baptist Church over 23 years. Now, Gabe, an 8-hour message. I'm going to cover 23 years in about 25 minutes, all right? But I want to rehearse for you, as they did in the Bible, as they went back over what God had done from the beginning, it said in Acts chapter 11, from the beginning, all that God had done, they rehearsed it in the ears of the people. It was, again, the first week of December, 1991. I went back on my computer and pulled up the 1991 calendar so I could get the dates exactly right. It was deer season, 1991, that we held the first services of Bible Baptist Church. Brother Jeff Braden is not with us this morning. He's out visiting family down south somewhere. But it was Brother Jeff that had come to me. He was driving all the way to Yorksville to go to church every Sunday. And he came to me and he said, would you start a church in Cambridge? We had met over the time. I was back from the mission field at that time and in a state in my life where I didn't know what door God was going to open next. So I was traveling around preaching in many different places. And he said, would you come down and hold a service in our farmhouse? And let's just have church on a Sunday or Wednesday. And I said, well, and I'd put him off a couple times before that. Said, we can't do it, we can't do it. So it just came up this Wednesday. He had a bunch of people down from Hope Baptist Church in Toledo that were coming down, staying with him and hunting on his property. He said, I don't want to take them out of the woods on Wednesday when it gets dark and drive them all the way to Yorksville for church. Let's have one service. Let's have one service in our house on that Wednesday night. So I kind of reluctantly said, okay, we'll do that. Not knowing that he and his wife were going to get on the phone. They were going to call people. And when we walked in that Wednesday night, there were 30 people gathered in the kitchen of their farmhouse with a bunch of chairs set up. All the kitchen was abandoned. They moved everything out of there and put all a bunch of chairs up. And we had a service on Wednesday night. It was Wednesday night, December 4th, 1991, that we held the first service of what would become Bible Baptist Church. At that time, we had no idea what the Lord was going to do. But we met in there, and for a pulpit, I said, well, what am I going to preach from? I can't just hold my Bible and my notes. So they brought up a high chair, not for me to sit in. But they brought in a high chair and we turned around backwards so that the little tray was facing me so I could set my Bible on it. But that was awful low. And so they had another great idea and they brought out a big picnic basket. Yogi Berra, always loved those picnic baskets. They brought that out and set it on top of the tray there. So now it was right about where it needed to be. And so for the next 4 months, we preached and held church in the Braden's farmhouse east of Cambridge, preaching from a high chair with a picnic basket on top of it. And we held the service that Wednesday night, and 30 people came in, and we had a great service that night, and 2 adults got saved. At the end of the message, they trusted Christ as Savior, and I thought, oh no, what's going on here? Brother Jeff came in and said, well, can we have church Sunday? He was all excited. Can we have church Sunday? I said, no, I'm supposed to be in North Canton preaching on Sunday. I can't do it. Can we have church next Wednesday? I thought, well, this guy isn't going to let it go. You know who to thank. I said, all right, we'll do it again next Wednesday. I thought, these guys, I think there was 5 of them, hunters that were down from Toledo, they'll be gone to Toledo. This was a first time thing, a new thing. It'll fizzle out, nobody will be back. So we went the second Wednesday, which was December 11th. And that night we had 30 people again. I don't know why that was our magic number. But we had 30 people that showed up for that second service, and I believe Carol Morris might have been in that one or the next Sunday one, but I was trying to think of people that were here with us back then. Brother Jeff was there. Carol, I know, was in the services there. I think that's all that's here right now. But we had our second service on that second Wednesday night, and guess what happened? Two adults got saved that night too. So right then it was a matter of surrender. Okay, Lord, I know what you're doing. We withdrew from our mission agency at that time and said we're not going back to the mission field, and decided right then we were going to start Bible Baptist Church. So on that next Sunday, December 15th, that next Sunday we held our first Sunday services in the farmhouse at the Bradens. And we had a wonderful time. Now that was a challenging time. We had six children at that time. I remember one time when we left the service, I think it was a Sunday night or Wednesday night, I had an old van. You know, I mentioned earlier that I got to push my self-start on my car and turn the heated leather seats on. Can I tell you, that's 23 years later. That wasn't the way it was at the beginning. Back at that time, we had an old green Dodge van that my church in Livonia, Michigan had given to us. And there's a reason when a church gives a van away. I remember one time the cop pulled me over on Route 40 because he thought I was drunk because I was weaving. And I was weaving because the steering was that loose in the van. That's just the way it drove down the road. And we left one night and we got in that van and we headed from the Braden's house back to our house. And I had six kids at that time that were living at home from a year old to 11 years old. And we got in the van and we headed home. And we got home and we unpacked and the phone rang. And Bonnie Braden said, "Are you missing one of your children?" We did a quick head count. And to our shame, Sarah wasn't there. She had gone into one of the boys' bedrooms at the Braden house and was playing with the toys, and we loaded up and went home without her. We had to rush back and get her. To this day, she hasn't forgotten that. There were some days in the wintertime it was so rough because their farmhouse is way up a road, a gravel road. There were sometimes we couldn't get up that road and have church. We'd be there in the morning and we were pushing cars up and down trying to get in and out. But it was the beginning. It was the start of Bible Baptist Church. And really, when we look back, it's fond memories. We were glad when we finally moved there. The main reason was because we're in someone's kitchen at 9, 10, 11, and 12 o'clock in the morning. You know where their lunch was? It was in the oven. And it was cooking. And the longer it cooked, the shorter the attention span got of the people that were listening to the preacher. Because the smell of whatever that was kind of filling in the room in there. I appreciate the years that the Bradens did that, moving, cleaning out their kitchen every Sunday and every Wednesday for 4 months so we could have church services there. We had different missionaries. We started with missions right at the beginning. I remember missionary Paul Frizzell, our missionary to Bolivia, preaching from that backwards high chair with a picnic basket on top of it. That was the foundation of our church. We had church events in the backyard of that farmhouse. And those are great memories from 23 years ago. I want you to turn, if you would, to Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. We are rehearsing all that God has done from the beginning. And that's the beginning for us here at Bible Baptist Church. A long time ago, 1991. With our kids up here this morning, many of you were not even born in 1991. In fact, you don't have to be a kid not to have been born in 1991. You could be 20 years old and you weren't born yet. That's how far, that's the roots. And I know there's a lot of churches that can say they've been there 100 years. I got news for you. They don't have the original pastor there. Not if they've been there 100 years. We're fortunate. We're still in that young stage, even though it's 23 years. That's still young. We look forward to what God still got for us. But we've rehearsed those things that God has done from the beginning. I want to give you the second word this morning. I told you it's just a message of two words. I want to give you the second word. In Numbers chapter 33, Moses is rehearsing, though the word's not used, the story of the children of Israel when they left the foot of Mount Sinai. All right, God had given them the Ten Commandments. He'd called them out of Egypt. He was sending them out. As you know, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Because of their unbelief. They could have gone straight from where they were into the promised land in a matter of days. They weren't that far away. But because of their murmuring and their complaining, because of their lousy attitude, God made them wander 40 years in the wilderness. I wonder how many times our murmuring, our complaining, our lousy attitude makes God's blessings withheld for a long period of time. For 40 years, till everyone of that generation died off, we find out. They wandered in the wilderness. And in Numbers chapter 33, Moses gives us a list of all the places they parked on their way from Egypt to the promised land. Notice, beginning in verse number 3. And they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them. Upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments. Here again, Moses now is retelling the story of how God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, and they began on their wilderness march. But notice in verse 5, and the children of Israel removed. There's the word I want you to notice. The children of Israel removed from Ramses and pitched in Succoth. All right, from Egypt, from Ramses, the first place they stopped was the city called Succoth. There they set up the tabernacle. There they did all the things that Moses was commanded of God to do. But they removed from Ramses to Succoth. Notice verse 7. And they removed from Etham and turned again to Pi-Hahiroth. They removed. Verse number 9. And they removed from Marah and came unto Elam. Verse 10. They removed from Elam and camped by the Red Sea. Verse 11. They removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. In verse 14. And they removed from Elish and encamped at Rephidim, where was no water for the people to drink, verse 15 or 16. And they removed from the desert of Sinai, verse number 21. And they removed from Libna, verse 24. They removed from Mount Shaphar, verse 25. They removed from Herodah, verse 26. They removed from Makedoth, verse 28. They removed from Terah, verse 32. They removed from that long name, verse 34. They removed from Jotbatha, verse 36. They removed from Ezion-Geber. Verse 37, they removed from Kadesh. Verse number 46, they removed from Dibon-Gad. And verse 47, they removed from Ammon-Diblaethim. 18 times in this chapter, Moses gives us the recollection. He rehearses for us where they went from this place to this place to this place to this place. May I take that word removed to, again, go over the history of Bible Baptist Church, not only to rehearse things from the beginning of what God had done, but to remind some of you, or tell some of you, how God has removed us from one place to another. After 4 months in that farmhouse east of Cambridge, we were going to have a revival meeting with Dr. Sam Gipp. Brother Gipp has been here to preach for us several times over the 23 years we've been here. That was the first time he was coming to preach in Cambridge, Ohio. Actually, we were in the farmhouse in East Cambridge, and we thought, we sent out flyers and invited people, and Brother Gipp usually has an entourage of people that come from miles around to hear him. So we knew this was going to be very difficult inside that farmhouse to get more than 30 people in there because our space was limited. So on a whim, with a prayer, we went down to the old Shenandoah Inn. And most of you remember it. It's no longer there, at the old Washington exit on Route 70. We went down and we talked to the people in charge there, and we explained our situation. We are a church. We need a special meeting place for this week. For Sunday to Wednesday, we need a place to meet. And they sent us down the ladder, down the chain of command, to a fellow named Paul, a former Amishman, I believe. And Paul was very generous to us. And he said, that's no problem. We'll get you a place set up on Sunday. We've got a wedding rehearsal on Saturday night. I'll come in after it's all over and clean up. And we'll set up for Sunday morning. You can come in Sunday and you can have your service. And you can stay there Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night and have your services and your revival meeting. So we did. What a blessing it was. Brother Gipp came. Folks came from all around. I don't remember the numbers we had, but we had a good crowd that met in the banquet room. If you remember, Shenandoah Inn was kind of like a horseshoe, trying to write the right word. And we were right on the curb. The restaurant was on the south curb. We were on the north curb. We were on the south curb. So we were right there, and we could hear the people in the restaurant next door. I don't know why food and Bible Baptist always seem to go hand in hand at that point. But we could hear the people. There was just a dividing curtain, and the restaurant was on the other side, and we were having church over here. Brother Gipp preached. We had a great meeting. And what happened, by about Tuesday night, I thought, this is going to be really difficult now to go from this big, spacious room back to the kitchen at the Braden Farmhouse. So again, throwing up a Nehemiah prayer, if you've read Nehemiah chapter 1, how he prayed instantly in front of the king. We prayed, and we went to Paul and asked Paul, he said, what would be the chances of us using this for our church on a regular basis? We'd be willing to pay some rent, something that we could come and hold our church services here every Sunday and every Wednesday. He said, let me get back to you. He took my phone number. He called me a few days later and he said, I've worked all the details out. You're free to meet here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night for as long as you want to. And I said, that's great. That's a blessing. A smile on my face. I said, how much is it going to cost? And he said, nothing. And so for the next 3.5 years, from April of 1992 Till October of 1995, we met at the Shenandoah Inn in that banquet room, absolutely debt-free. One of the reasons God has blessed our church is because we didn't have to incur debt at the very beginning. We didn't have a lot of money at the very beginning, and I'll explain that in just a moment when we do our next move. We didn't have a lot to go on, but God knew that need, and God was interested in us. Folks, I won't go into a lot of things, but there were a lot of battles that were fought during that time. There was a lot of things that the devil was trying to put under thumb and trying to stop that thing from ever happening. He was trying to abort Bible Baptist Church before it ever got to its infancy. And we fought a lot of battles and a lot of different hardships and a lot of different things. And being in a truck stop is not the best place to try to get people to come to church. I remember going down Institute Road, which is right next to it, going door to door down there, inviting people to come to church. And they'd say, "Where is the church?" And I'd say, "At the truck stop." And the truck stop did not have a real good reputation at that time. The truckers stayed there, and that led to a lot of different problems with loose women, however you want to say that. But there was a problem there, and we're saying that's where we're meeting, and it was hard to get people to come to church at the Shenandoah Inn. But for the next 3 days, there were some times where Paul, God bless him, where Paul would come in on a Saturday night after a big wedding reception where everybody's just drunk as a skunk. He would come in on Saturday night and clean that whole mess up, the cigarettes, the alcohol, everything, spray in there, disinfect, clean it up, so we could have church on Sunday morning. And he never charged us a dime for any of that. There were Wednesday nights where they needed that room for something else, but they opened up a hotel room and said, "You can have your prayer meeting in this room." And we crammed people in one little hotel room and sometimes opened the door between two so we could use two rooms. And we had those services in there. And we're thankful for those beginning days of Bible Baptist Church. I remember one time when we were meeting in there, we graduated from the high chair to a trash can. We used one of the big trash cans, and we took one of the extra curtains from the wall, and we dressed it over that trash can, and we used that as our pulpit for many years while we were out there. And one time we had a missionary in, and the missionary was very flamboyant. He was preaching a message, and in his message he had an illustration about some dogs chasing some deer. And I think he was preaching from Psalms, as the heart panteth after the water. The heart is a type of deer. Preaching from that, and he's giving an illustration of these dogs. And so in the course of his message, he was a hunter. He knew how to sound like a dog. And so in the course of his message, he began, I'm not even going to try to do it, he began barking like a dog. Again, the restaurant's right on the other side of that curtain. And he's in there giving this illustration, and he's barking, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there watching, and I turned and noticed, and I saw the curtain pulled back, and all these heads peeking around the corner trying to look and say, "What is going on that a guy's barking like a dog over there?" We had some exciting moments. We had some great times. We had people saved. At that time, we baptized over at Calvary Baptist Church. They allowed us to use their baptistry, and we baptized there. After that, we went down to the YMCA when it was down there in the middle of Cambridge, and we used their pool for a baptistry. And we had people saved, people baptized, and the church began to grow, and God blessed us. We began looking for a building, and we looked everywhere. This is the first time of three times that we were going to be searching for a building and looking everywhere. And we looked, and we went out to what is now Salem Baptist Church. It was before, but they were looking for a pastor, and so we looked at the possibility of moving our congregation out there. And I don't want to say anything negative, but I just thank God we didn't move there, because we would have been moving farther away from the nucleus instead of toward it, and it wouldn't have had the same blessings we have today. And so we looked at that. We looked at other things. Well, in the middle of all that stuff, I got in contact with a guy named Roy Barlow. And I'd known Roy before. And Roy and Mr. Kyle, and is it Arthur Bell? All right, and Arthur Bell had the Fellowship Baptist Church on the north end of Cambridge, out past the hospital, about halfway between the hospital and State Hospital. The old LaFleau Glass place, for those of you that have been around here a long time. They had Fellowship Baptist Church. Their pastor, they had gone through a couple of pastors, and now they had no pastor, and they were buying the building on land contract, and the land contract was about to expire, and they were going to lose everything they put into it. So Roy approached us, and we went into the possibility of Bible Baptist Church buying them out, paying off the land contract, and buying that building. And in October of 1995, that's what we did. We went into that small church building at the north end of Cambridge. It was Fellowship Baptist Church, and we purchased that for $16,000. And we moved in. Now, I told you about the financial difficulties of the days and the times. When we went to buy that building, we had nobody in the church that had credit to get a loan for $16,000, except the preacher. And so I'm the one that went down. I'm the one that signed the paper. I'm the one that got the personal loan and then title deeded it over to Bible Baptist Church. We paid off the amount that was into that house. And for 1 year we met in that house. And what a blessing it was to be out on the main road, out on Old 21 Road north of Cambridge. And we did some things out to the building and remodeled it a little bit and fixed it up. And we'd come in and people would come into the front door and there'd be a big auditorium. We had 40 to 50 people that were in that little thing. And again, it was just a one room, just one room in there. And I preached from back where what is the kitchen now of my house. All right, because after we moved from there, I bought the building back, title deeded it back, and then remodeled it and made it into what we call the parsonage or the pastor's house. And now when I'm standing in my kitchen, I can see the old church as it was laid out right there with the basement underneath and one big open space back there. We had a lot of kids back then, a lot of church kids. And all those church kids would go down there and play floor hockey all the time. They go down there and play floor hockey. Just tore the place up, but they had a blast, and that's what it was all about. And we met in that building for 12 months exactly. 12 months, and as we got out there, our parking became an issue. We were trying to figure out, how can we get more parking? How can we get more space? We began to plan on how we could knock this wall out over here to open up the auditorium, make more room. And as we announced on Sunday morning, all right, this Tuesday night, we're going to come and we're going to bust some walls out and make this room bigger, and we're going to expand the parking lot. On Monday morning, Brother Leonard Kyle called me, and he said, the Christian Missionary Alliance Church on Madison Avenue is folding. They're dissembling. They're going to sell their building. And so I called the guy that was the pastor of that church down on Madison Avenue. I called him and asked him about it. He said, yes, we are going to close up. We're having our last Sunday service next Sunday. I said, can we look at the building? So I went down there on Tuesday. During the day Tuesday I was there, I saw the building. I thought, our men got to see this. Tuesday night, the men showed up with sledgehammers, shovels. We're ready to knock out walls and get things going. I said, fellas, before we do this, I want to show you something. So we drove down to the church on Madison Avenue, and we looked at it and said, all right, what do we want to do? Do we want to build that building? Do we want to knock the walls out and make that bigger? Do we want to move down here? And of course, for us, now those of you that were at that church, think of that church compared to what we're in now. I mean, it was a blessing. It was a gift of God that we were able to buy that building for $35,000. That's what the CMA owed on it, so they sold us that building for $35,000. You couldn't beat that. Every step of the way, God was just providing wonderfully and magnificently for Bible Baptist Church. We moved into that church on Madison Avenue. Instead of that, knocking the walls out, we moved in there in October of 1996 and stayed until July of 2011. So for 15 years, finally, for 15 years, Bible Baptist Church was in one spot, one location. And we're out there, we're down there on the south side. Now, I didn't know at that time, I wasn't from Cambridge, that was not one of the most popular areas for people to come to church. And so again, we had trouble getting people to come in. We've had some of you that told me once we moved here, you said you never even knew our church was down there in Cambridge. You didn't know we were nestled down there on the south side, right under the bridge that comes down 209. We met there for 15 years. It was a wonderful place, a wonderful auditorium. We got up to about 80 people in there, and we were just packed out. We had people driving around the corner coming to church, and they saw the parking lot, and there was nowhere to park, and they just drove on and went past us. We had a real problem. For about the last 5 years, we began saving money. We didn't have a drive. We didn't have a building fund. We weren't asking for extra collections. But out of our general offering, we just began to take some money out and put it into a building fund. We began to look everywhere and anywhere we could find anything. At the same time, God was blessing us. People were getting saved. The church was growing. Our young people were going off to Bible college. At one time, we had 10 of our young people. 10 of our young people at one time in different Bible colleges around, and now they're out serving the Lord in different places. God has blessed Bible Baptist Church. We were in that for a while. We began to walk every property. I can't begin to list all the properties we began to walk. We went out east of town, out on 40, or west of town, out on 40, and looked at a place out there that's now an oil and gas place, looked at the possibility of remodeling it. Could we make this into a church? We went out on 40 this direction and looked at some land there. We went up on 22, just off of 77, and seriously considered land up there to buy, to build a building. You can imagine the cost that would have been. We looked everywhere, anywhere, high and low. We even looked at Trinity Baptist Church. At one point, they were going to move. They had gotten a bunch of money, bought some property out near Browns Heights. They were going to move. We're going to sell their building. Glad we didn't wait on that. They're still there after all these years. But we looked at that and talked to the pastor there and had the possibility of doing it. We were waiting and looking, doing everything we could, humanly speaking. Folks, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do everything we can, humanly speaking, but be looking for Him to open the door. See, a lot of times there's two extremes. A lot of times we think, well, I'm going to do this myself, and we don't let God do it, and we get in a mess. The other extreme is we sit back and let God do everything and don't think we have to do anything and end up in a mess. No, it's our human best filled with the Spirit of God, as Dr. Bruce Cummins used to always say. Our human best filled with the Spirit of God. We did everything we could. And so after all those years of meeting there, we met there for 15 years and did some wonderful things, and God did some great things there. But after those years, we were looking for somewhere else to move. We were putting money into the bank, putting money away every month, putting some in there to save up to try to get this. If we got special offerings, people would get an inheritance or something, give it to the church, we'd put it into that building fund. We were looking for somewhere to move, and we saw the old pomegranate building down here, which is no longer down there. But we saw the pomegranate building, and it said, Dave Ogle, Realtor, make an offer. And I said, okay. He said, make an offer. It was a $1.3 million building, I think. He said, make an offer, so we called and we made an offer. When he got done laughing, no, he didn't really laugh. When he got done, he said, no, that they're not going to take that, but have you considered the Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Bysville? And we had looked at this building once and saw what they were asking for it and said, we can't do that. So we told him, we can. He said, no, you need to make an offer. So we came down here. Some of our men came. Some of our ladies came. We all came down, and it was freezing cold in here because it hadn't been anybody here for 2 years. It was the middle of winter, and there was no heat on in here. It was just cold and frigid in here. And we walked through the building and looked at it and just thought, we could never do this. We could never move into this. The electric payments would be more than we could afford. So we began to look at and pray about it, and Mr. Ogle said, just make an offer, make an offer, make an offer. We had $140,000 in the bank with which we could try to find something. We knew that wasn't going to buy this building. They said, make an offer. So we got together, and all the deacons, we got together, and we said, all right. He said, make an offer. So we made an offer, $95,000. We sent that in. The Roman Catholic Diocese from Steubenville came to Cambridge. All the big wigs in the Catholic Church sat around together at the table with their representatives from Cambridge. They sat around and discussed our offer, and they turned it down. And so Dave Ogle called us and said, I'm sorry, Pastor, but they won't take $95,000. So I said, okay. So we went on looking at other things, looking at other choices. What could we do? Where can we move? What can we do? All this time praying and waiting. And a couple months later, Dave Ogle called and said, you need to make an offer again. They're more desperate to sell. And I said, well, we've already offered, and they turned it down. He said, make another offer. So we got together and we said, all right, what do we do now? We didn't really want to go into debt. We knew how much money we had, but they were asking $300,000 for the building at the time, which was less than half of the value of the building. This building was built for $750,000 back in 1973. So they were asking $300,000. That was a little less than half the value of it. And we said, we can't afford that. We don't want to go into debt. So we said, okay, what are we going to do? And I said, all right, well, let's scrape together. And we met with the deacons and said, if we give them, see, they don't understand independent Baptists. The Southern Baptists, the Northern Baptists, the GARB, all these, they got an organization behind them that has some money. But independent Baptist church simply means this. This is it. This group of people, this is all. We don't have anybody behind us that finances anything. We don't have anybody behind us we got to send our money off to. We are self-sufficient. We're indigenous is the theological word for it. We're indigenous. We don't have any organization behind us that gives us extra money like many other denominations do. So we knew they didn't understand that, so we said, well, let's get a ballpark number, but if we make it an even round-off number, they're going to think, well, they got money and they're just playing with us. So we offered them $103,000. Now, nobody could have come up with that amount with any common sense. All right, we offered $103,000, and I thought, we're only up $8,000 from what we offered. They're never going to take this. And then one of our deacons, and I won't mention Daryl's name, but one of our deacons said, well, let's do this. We need some money to remodel, so let's offer them $80,000 cash and ask them to finance the other $23,000 through the Roman Catholic Diocese so we don't have to go to the bank. And all this time, I don't know if I was doing it outward, but inside I'm just shaking my head saying, 103 is hard enough. Now we're adding all these extra stipulations to it. He says, let's offer him 80,000 cash. That gives us some more money to do the remodeling. We'll pay the 23,000 off at 6%. He had this all at 6% interest over 5 years, and the payments will be. And I said, okay, God, we're going to do whatever. They're just going to laugh at us anyway, so we'll do it. So we made that offer. And they took it. And they took it exactly the way Daryl had said, here's how we ought to do it. They took it. We paid $80,000, which left us $60,000 in the bank. We used $40,000 to remodel in here because a lot of the lights were out, different systems, anything. We had a lot of work to do in here to move into it. But in July of 2011, we moved into this building. I won't say debt-free. We paid $80,000, and then for the next couple of years, we paid our mortgage payments. What a trip it is for our treasurer to be back in the office writing a mortgage payment to the Roman Catholic Diocese of Steubenville for $445.65. And every month we sent money to the Catholic Church, made our donation to the Catholic Church. That's weird for any Baptist to do. And we did that for a few years, and we sold our old building to the oil and gas people in Cambridge, got enough money to pay off that debt. We had our mortgage burning about a year ago in here, and this is where God has brought us to over 23 years. He's removed us four different times into our fifth location. I'm kind of nervous. I'm growing old. I don't know where we're going to go the sixth time. I don't know what's going to happen after this. We already are faced with problems. We were faced with the parking problem. God provided the lot down here through a lot of turmoil, a lot of headaches, a lot of red tape. We got our parking lot down there. We've got Sunday school classrooms downstairs that we could easily make. We've got need for more room downstairs for Sunday school. We've got need for more teachers. We can still do a lot more. And all we have to do is keep our eyes on God, because He has done so much for us. Moses rehearsed all these things. Moses told them we were removed from here to here to here to here. And he recited to them God's blessings. Suppose God has been good to Bible Baptist Church for 23 years. And let me say this, He's going to continue to be good to Bible Baptist Church. Here we are this morning, canceled services downstairs because the rain came and the floods came. So what? We'll take care of it. We've overcome bigger obstacles than that before. This is nothing. Now, again, I'm not one of those kind that just dares the devil to do anything because I fear the devil. I fear what he's able to do. But I've got a God that's greater than the devil. And even when the devil throws us a curve, we've got a God that can make it a straight pitch anyways. And we just need to continue. You know what word I've learned over the years? In 23 years, if there's one word I've learned, it's faithful. God doesn't bless us because we're rich. God doesn't bless us because we're famous or well-known. He blesses us if we're faithful. And we might not ever be written up in the Sword of the Lord magazine. We might not ever have our names known outside of our immediate community. But God just wants us to be faithful. And if we just keep at it slow and steady, doing the right things, that's the catch. It's so easy to do the wrong thing. But if we just take our time and do the right thing, time in and time out and time in, there's not an immediate return on it. See, we're a fast-paced society. We think if we do something right now, we should see the reward right now. But God looks for long-term faithfulness. And then look what God does. Every guest we have that comes in, all these missionaries that travel, guest preachers come in and see this building that were with us in our other buildings. And look at what God has done for Bible Baptist Church. I had Brother Gip here. I told you in August he was here. And he was with us back in the early days when we struggled and had a lot of personal problems as well as church problems and all that. And he's been with us from the very beginning. And when we were downstairs and Sonia and I were down there showing him around, showing him the classrooms and opening the doors, he literally began to cry because he knew where we came from and he saw where God has brought us. And there's only one reason: faithfulness. That's all God asks us to do. Be faithful to Him. When it looks discouraging, stay faithful. When it looks like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, stay faithful, because God rewards faithfulness. We have rehearsed, we've been removed, now we're rejoicing because God has been so good. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We cannot fail to tell you this morning that one of the reasons God has